All right, if you would, turn to John, 1 John chapter 4. You know, with my retirement only being a few weeks away, I kind of get heart jabbed because it is so wonderful to spend time in the Word and to find things to share and to talk to all of you about. And so I don't know how someday I'm sure I will do some other teaching and preaching, but, you know, not in a full-time thing. It's I'm getting too old, you know. I know 72 is not too old, but then it'll be 73, 74, you know, on and on. But just to say, I want to thank God for all of my years of being able to study the Word and be able to share things. And I thank you all for being a part of it. And anyway, we're going to be in 1 John. I need to move on. But we've been studying the Gospel of the letter of John, 1 John. And just a reminder, he was roughly how old did we say? About 90 years old. He was in the latter part of his life, probably living at the little town of Ephesus, according to tradition. And that even as an old man, one of his favorite sayings was, "Beloved, let us love one another," and which is we're going to talk about next week. I intended to go and talk about it with this part, but we'll do that next week. But at any rate, this is John's last writing. Of course, he did write 2 and 3 John roughly the same time. But here in 1 John, he's been writing to them about loving one another and, of course, loving God. And as Jesus talked about loving your enemies, John hasn't said so much about that because he's focusing on those who are teaching false things. And so 1 John, really, one of the primary reasons for writing, other than teaching, encouraging once again to love one another, was for them to be sure and avoid whatever is not true. As God's people, hold on to the truth and stay with the truth is really part of 1 John's message for us. And I figure in chapter 4, there's just a handful of verses, 1 through 6, that I want to deal with today and divide it into three little parts. And the first one is in just really one verse, and it's what I'm calling the call to discernment. Book of Proverbs talks about discernment, and to discern is to carefully consider to the point that you arrive at some kind of understanding. So this is the call to understand or to discern when it comes to what's being taught. You know, you need to kind of weigh the different things and make the correct decision. That's discernment. He says in verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe in every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Well, just like I told you, that's really one of his main purposes for writing this book, was to warn them. And you'll find that through John, through 1 John, and John's writing. And now, I've said this before, but just as a reminder, because if you ever decide to study John, if you have not, 1 John, you'll find it can be a very confusing book. And it's not because John is intentionally being confusing. It's just that John's style of writing is different. And I know I've said this to you before, so shut me up if you will real quick, because I just want to say, you know, Paul, he's so straight line linear teaching, you can pretty much follow it. John is circular. He constantly comes back to the same topic. And so don't be surprised as you read it that you read through it and it doesn't seem to go on to the next thing. It seems to come back around. And so here he is toward the end coming back around about the problem with these false teachers, what he calls false prophets. Now, there were false prophets at the time, and even in the Old Testament time, there are people who claimed to be speaking for God, but they weren't. And the Old Testament says the way that you can determine whether a prophet is telling the truth or not is that whatever he predicts, if it doesn't come to pass, he's obviously a false prophet. Well, we don't really have that kind of ability. It's not that we don't have those kind of prophets around that are teaching in a sense that I'm speaking for God. Oh, wait a minute, time out. Yeah, we do. You know, you just tune any time you want to some particular preachers. You can find them on YouTube, or you can find them on the television, or you can read some of the things they've written that have a lot of things that are just not true. Which is why, of course, John says for us, and still applies today, there were false prophets in their day. There are false people, false teachers today. Don't believe every spirit. That's the first thing. Just don't believe. Realize that there can be people, and there are, even in our time, that are not teaching what's true. And we'll deliberate a little bit more on that in just a second. But don't believe every spirit, that not every spiritual message, quote, that you hear from God is actually from God, or is energized, if you will, by the Spirit of God. John will tell us some come from the spirit of error, and that's a little further down, but don't believe every spirit. Why does it matter? Well, we live in a day of podcasts, of influencers, of just endless voices. let me give you an example for me. First, it started with email. Okay, I can handle email. Get online, get to my email account, and read what people have sent to me, and I could type back, send it back to them, and I learned eventually how to send things and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you get a telephone, and you got to learn how to text. Okay, I can do that. That's not hard. I can text, you know, and all that. But it just seems like it's just complicated now for me for other things. I mean, Outlook, and I can't even say all the other things that are out there. But podcasts, I don't know that I've ever watched a podcast. I probably have. But, you know, I'm just not sure. I'm saying that because it seems like today, you know, there's sources from everywhere, you know. I grew up when we only had two television stations when I was a kid, you know, and now we've got hundreds of them, it seems like. And you can find all kinds of stuff out there. It matters today because sometimes we think, well, just being sincere is all that really matters. You don't really have to be right. All you got to do is just really care. You know, you got to be sincere. Sincerity is a good thing, but sincerity is not the test of what's true. And also popularity. It could be that something suddenly has popped up and everybody's going to it. Wow, 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 man, this guy's really this and that. And it turns out they're not really teaching what's true. But we've been drawn because of popularity. Popularity is not the test of truth. Sometimes it could be a minority of people, and it has been historically, surely, at places that have the truth and others that don't, and that popularity is what's kind of drowning out that small voice of what's true. Also, our personal preferences, underline that one in your mind, our personal preferences are not the basis for or the test for our truth. I think today that's the biggest drive. churches have become, and we can be guilty of this too, almost like a restaurant or something. We're trying to attract consumers because Christianity has almost become a consumer kind of thing. We pick churches based on whether it's pleasing to us instead of is it right? Are they teaching what's true? And there are many churches that are teaching what's true, so I'm not trying to say, hey, we're the only ones, you know. Not that at all, but just to realize that there are many that are not teaching what's true. And it may be the environment's very enjoyable, very maybe even entertaining. Maybe the minister is very charismatic and things like that. But here's what it is, though. Instead of sincerity or popularity or personality or our personal preference, it's that being Christ-centered is really the test of truth. He says, do not believe every spirit, but test spirit to see whether they are from God. That's the key, to see whether they are from God. What is that saying? That there may be some that are not from God. And there will be some that want, because they are not from God, to draw you away from God. That's why John says you need to test the spirits. You need to study the Word of God and test the spirits. This is from the word test. It's from the language of word having to do with examining metals, checking the authenticity of it. There's a lot of fake jewelry out there, and you got to be able to test it to make sure it truly is gold or truly is silver. And that's the same word here. Test the spirits. Examine them carefully. And, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says that. Examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. So what is it saying about that which is bad? Don't hold on to it. You're going to have to be able to test, and from the test then choose what's right, and then choose only what is right. Examine everything carefully. But then, of course, hold fast to what you find and what you realize is true. John says that there are many, verse 1 here, there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. And that was in John's day. That was at the very, very beginning of Christianity. I know it's 90. He's 90, and therefore we're probably about A.D. 90, somewhere like that. And so Christianity has, and the church has existed now for probably, say, around 60-some-odd years. And so already a brand-new thing, the church, and all of a sudden false prophets have gone out into the world. Who do you think's behind that? Well, it's not God. It's Satan. And if he was there then, doing that then, then what's he doing now? Pretty much the same stuff. And so there's a lot of things that we might run into in the world today that claims to be from God, but it's really not, because that's how Satan operates. He masquerades himself as an angel of light. And so a lot of things that are taught, that we hear, are often things that he's been the cause of, and the product is whatever he wants put out there. That's where the false prophets get their ideas, and they get out into the world. Now, I've talked about this in a Bible class, so I don't want to go a long time in it. But the main test here he's going to tell us is whether or not Christ came in the flesh. Remember the cyclical writing of John. If you go back to chapter 2, he tells us that. Verse 22, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? So there's one of the things. He's not the Messiah. That's what some false teachers were teaching at that time. You just thought he was. He fooled you. He's not the Messiah. And so he's saying that the liar, Satan, and the ones that he sponsors are teaching that, are denying that Jesus is the Christ. And he says in verse 22, this is the Antichrist, small a, and we already talked about the big Antichrist that some think is coming at the end. I think that's a misunderstanding of Scripture. The Antichrist is just anybody who's against Christ and a non-Christian. And then the one who denies the Father and the Son. Who denies the Father, the Son, he says, does not have the Father. And the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. And so that's back over in chapter 2. So we get back over here to chapter 4. He's back on that topic again. Don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so there's then a test we need to take. And this is number 2, if you like to take notes. And that is the confession test. Verses 2 and 3 kind of cover that. He says, but this you know, or by this you know, the Spirit of God. And here it is. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. I'm sorry, I misread that. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And verse 3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, uses that word again, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is in the world. It's already in the world. That's why he says many prophets have gone out into the world, the Antichrist. They're teaching things that are not true about Jesus Christ. So now let me share with you the thing that I've talked about in the past. Just briefly touch again. You know, there are some folks even in our fellowship I'm going to use a couple of examples if you don't mind. The Mormons, and say, oh, you know, they're godly people, they're good people. And, hey, listen, they are some really good people that are Mormons. But what they believe is not Christianity. They got a really crazy idea that they got from Joseph Smith that Jesus himself lived on another planet like we did, and eventually, by following the pattern that they believe they follow, married many women and then had relationships with those women in heaven. And God, the great God, gave him his own planet, which is us, by the way, and he populated the planet. And so Jesus is kind of God, but he wasn't God originally. He was just another person like us. And oh, by the way, that's where we're going, you know. That's why Mormons, the Mormon men, want so many brides, and they go to the Mormon temple, to the tabernacle, and they have a spiritual wedding to women who are already physically married to other people, so that once they die, they will actually then have that woman as one of their wives, so that they can, when they're in heaven, they can, you know, they can have many children that they put on their own planet. Isn't that a crazy idea? Is it not very far away from Christianity? Very far away. And those folks need to be rescued from that. Rather than all of us just assuming, oh, well, you know, live and let live. Bible says don't judge one another, you know, don't judge or you'll be judged. And we misunderstand that scripture. In another place, Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. And so we need to, how can you examine and not believe every spirit, but test them if you can't make some kind of a judgment? And one other group I'll mention to you, maybe a couple, is the Jehovah's Witnesses. They are called Jehovah's Witnesses because they believe there is only Jehovah, and there is no Jesus. That Jesus was just a man, and that they don't believe, in other words, they reject the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they believe that Jesus was never God in any way, and yet the scriptures are very clear about that. That Jesus Christ left his home in heaven with God. Philippians chapter 2. He emptied himself of his deity in order to become man on earth and live out on earth and then die and suffer for us. And then he was super exalted. That's the word that Paul uses in Philippians 2. He was super exalted to his place in heaven, where he's now sitting on the side of with God on the throne. And so he's ruling now as Lord. But before that, he was God and came to earth to live among us. And so there's another group that I have family members who used to be Jehovah's Witnesses. They just kind of quit. They're not anything now, which is sad by itself. But you know, there are times when we need to understand that there's Christianity, and then there's other things that kind of look that way. It looks like at least they're religious, and so let's just kind of live and let live and let God sort it out. Well, John's telling us we need to get a little bit more into it and understand it and study it to some extent, and mainly so that we don't make mistakes and get drawn away from that, because these people are not, in this time of John, confessing that Jesus came in the flesh. That was one of the key things they were teaching at that time that John is telling us we need to watch out for. The Spirit of God always leads people to the real Jesus, and not to a reduced, redefined, or reinvented Jesus. The other thing is that spiritual conflict is a reality that we're involved in. The last song we sang, Ephesians 6, is where it came from. You know, we're to put on the armor of Christ, and so there is that the conflict, the spiritual conflict that is out there, and it is between two worlds. It's either the world of God and as salvation where that leads, or it's of the world. And that's what he will say here in the next verse and on the next few verses. And these are our last three, four, five, and six, if you want to follow along. And my thought for you, if you like to write notes, number three is this: there's a great chasm between truth and error. It's not just slightly off, it's a chasm. It's completely different. Here's how John says it. He says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them." And that would be, of course, the Antichrist, the false teacher. "You've overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world," which we're talking again, primarily Satan and others that might be led by him. Verse 5, they are from the world. So you are, verse 4, from God, but there's another group that they are from the world, and therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Verse 6 again now, but we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is John again. His concern is what's happening to the church of his time. And there were some false teachings coming in. You've probably heard of them, some of them, Gnosticism and other types of things. That legalism was Galatians. Paul wrote in Galatians all about legalism. Colossians was Gnosticism. Paul wrote about Gnosticism that was trying to enter into the church, all from Satan. And now John's writing about some of the same things. And so he says there's this chasm. You're either from God or you're from the world. And the world speaks to the world, and the world listens. But God speaks to you and I and others like us who love God and have our faith in Jesus Christ. And we've overcome through Jesus Christ. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Those from the world, and this is still true today, speak from the world's perspective. Even non-religious people, when they speak, it's because they're worldly and they reject what you believe. They reject the Bible. They reject the idea of creation, all those kind of things. And they just, because that's the world's perspective on things. And of course, then the world embraces them for that, you know, because they talk their language. From the world appeals, we are appealing to worldly desires, or worldly desires and values and philosophies, I should say, appeal to us. And that's when you're worldly, when your focus is really on the world. It's still true today. You might have people in your family, people you work with, or just some maybe friends that completely reject what you believe. Maybe they're nice to you and everything like that, but just understand they come from a whole different perspective than you do. As God's people, you have a certain knowledge that the Word of God shares with you, to you. Those are from God, and this is still true today. Listen to what the Bible teaches. I want you to notice something again, and this is where we're getting close to the end of our lesson here. Verse 6 again, he says, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. Circle that in your mind, the word us, and we at the front. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, you listen to God and God's witness is here, or you don't. And if you don't, you listen to the world. Now here's another example of John's cyclical teaching. He says, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. Who are the us? listens to us. It's the apostles. It's the apostles. John chapter 1, here's the cycle. He begins this way. He says, what was from the beginning, he's talking of Jesus, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, in other words, made known, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which is from the Father and was manifested to us. There's John talking about himself and other apostles. You know what he's saying? We were there. We spent all these years with Jesus. And we learned all these things. And then God sent us out. Jesus did. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You will be my witnesses to the world. And so the apostles have gone out and bore witness to Jesus and who he was, that he really was the Son of God. He really did die on a cross. He really was raised from the dead. He really did ascend to heaven. And we bear witness of that. That's what he says here in 1 John again. And that's what he means by this. We who are from God, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not God from God does not listen to us. And so by this we know the spirit of truth and error. So how do you know the right way to go? Well, John tells us right here. Listen to what we've said to you. Listen to the word of God. Most of this is written by the apostles and others then who were inspired by God in the New Testament. Of course, we have the Old Testament that were written by all the prophets and Moses and others like him, Solomon. David wrote some of the Psalms, most of the Psalms. But we also have these godly people. We also have all the books from the Apostle Paul. He's teaching us what he's learned from God. And even though he wasn't present during the life of Christ, he still saw Christ and was called by Christ on the road to Damascus. But we have the writings of Peter. Peter was with Jesus. We have the writing of James and Jude, who were brothers of Jesus. And, of course, we have John here, the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Gospel of John. And so that's why he says here for us, the real acid test to know how to know what's true and to follow it is to stay in your Bible, get in the Word, and read the Bible. And from doing that, it doesn't matter what's said around you and what kind of false things might be. You'll first of all recognize those things as not true, but then number two, you'll be able to stay with what is. And that's what John is calling on his readers to do in the first century. And I think that's what God is calling us to do through John's writings for us today. We need to test every spirit. There's a lot of false ideas out there. There are people that want to buy them Learjets so that they can put around the world and in great luxury. And all you have to do is give. And if you give, God's going to bless you. That's not in the Bible. And yet they draw people like crazy. Because any promise of success by just giving your money is really appealing. People that misuse it. There are people today also that conduct churches for everybody in the sense that it doesn't really matter. We don't judge. If you're a homosexual, you can even preach for us. And so there's that crossing the line over what's right and what's moral. And there are things like that that are taught. And if you stick to your word, you realize those things are counterfeit. They're not from God. And so there are many false churches out there. There are many good ones, but they're all false ones. Don't just lump them all in together. Be sure that you study your word and that, of course, you stay with the Lord. But if you do that, you're going to be all right. Now, let's just close with what a good way to apply this for all of us today. Again, be discerning. Don't be cynical. Just be careful and discerning with things. And, of course, don't be hateful or, you know, unkind with, you know, what's false that somebody might share with you. You want to win them over. You don't want to insult them and run them away. So be discerning, but don't be cynical and don't be hateful. Be Christ-centered. Be Christ-centered. It's all about Christ. He came to die for us, and he's in heaven waiting for us, and he'll return to get us someday. Be Bible-based. That's what I've been saying. John said that so many words. Listen to us. Be Bible-based. And let the Bible be the standard of truth. It ought to be. Let it be the standard of truth for you. Be Spirit-led. As you get into the Word, and the Word was inspired by the Holy Spirit, these men were, and so the Holy Spirit speaking to you from the Word, but he's also within. And the Holy Spirit, we got when we were baptized, God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there is a way in which, I can't put my finger on it, but there's a way in which the Holy Spirit helps us to understand and to grow, of course, in our faith. And then finally, be courageous. Truth's not always going to be popular. And especially today in our very liberal society where anything goes and everything gets blessed, even though some things are very wicked. And so we need to, as God's people, of course, stay away from those things and try to bring people away from those things ourselves. Let's close with a word of prayer, and we invite you to come while we stand and sing a song in a minute. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we actually have from you a written message of who you are and how to live our own lives in order to please you. And we pray, Father, that you'll bless us in that. Help us to understand, though, that around us there are places, there are people, there are churches, there are organizations that teach and say things with all kinds of confidence, but they're just not true. Help us to realize that, and we're not being unkind to acknowledge that. Help us to realize that, too. The world has really cowered us into submission in that area, that we want to get along with everybody, and of course we do, Father, but you know, sometimes it may not be possible. Watch over us and bless us and guide us throughout this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.